we are, Joe.
Here we are.
So,
oh, man. What are you doing today?
It's a little bit of a crazy week here. So
it is a week.
This is my week. I have to preach 7 times this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to do an hour and a half training today.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're moving our offices. So it's just like we're, and I'm not trying to whine. I'm just like, we're all hanging out. Like we have totally disrupted our offices, but canceled nothing on the church schedule.
Right.
So like I was getting ready for this talk and I'm literally sitting on a chair looking at into a corner like a child because there's so much going on around me.
Like, where do I find a quiet place?
But it'll be awesome when it's all done. But it's kind of fun. It's fun actually, but it's a crazy week.
I feel like that's moving in general. Like most of the time you move for good reasons. I guess not every time. So there's that excitement, but gosh, the amount of work that goes
moving
into
it. Is terrible.
Yeah. It's
ooh. I'm never doing it again. We moved our last time. When we fix up this house we're in, and I'm like, we're Heidi and I are both like, we're dying in this house.
Yeah,
like, there's never doing it again.
We said that early. The house we're in when we moved in, we're like, we're here early. But we've lost so many trees that have damaged something in the last 2 years that we're like, I mean, maybe we'd move. Like, it's just tired of. We had power lines ripped out of our house. We had part of my daughter's tree house destroyed.
Oh,
like,
my.
I mean. Thankfully, the dead tree is what hit our garage because then the tree busted as opposed to the garage. But still, I was like cleaning all that up.
I'll
like,
give you $1,000 for it.
Well,
the whole house. That is whole.
What a deal.
Wasted piece of junk house you live in, Joe.
What? Oh, it's well, that's why we love it so much. But yeah, $1,000. You're so generous.
Yeah, I'm known for that.
Yeah. Now that I'm sitting here feeling a little bitter towards you, let's go ahead and get into today's topic.
Okay.
No. Well, welcome to Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. He'll buy your house. He's got actually, you know those signs on the side of the road
that
says we'll buy. That's Jeff.
That's me.
And when you call him and say, I'll give you $1,000.
Right now, I'll be over tonight.
You know, quite honestly, either of us would buy your house for $1,000 right now.
I asked first.
That's true, but I'm nicer.
that's true too.
Oh boy, are we glad you're here. There is a lot of noise out there, and it's not always clear what to believe or how to live. By the way, I don't think, well, I don't know. I was going to say we don't really buy houses, but then again, if you gave them to us for $1,000, we would suddenly be buying
houses.
Right.
It would be Jeff and Joe's remodeling business.
Well, goodness. we want to sort through all these mixed messages all around us and follow the way of Jesus. That is why we're here. Jeff, we got a couple of questions, or just a question, excuse me, that we're going to dive into today from one of our listeners as I scroll down here in my notes. And we are looking at a friend kind of figuring out some different ways to interact with their new friend who moved into a new location. Anyway, okay, here we go. That was a really bad segue, but you'll live and you love it. And now you're picking up the pace because you're a little bit frustrated. See, I'm helping you runners out there. Okay. A friend at work moved and is looking for a local church in his new location. He said they've been attending a local church for a few weeks. All was going well at the weekend. Then at the weekend service, someone started speaking in tongues during the service. He told me that he and his wife didn't believe necessarily in speaking in tongues and gave me his reasoning. I asked where his reasoning came from. It actually wasn't based in the Bible. He asked what I knew about speaking in tongues, and I told him it isn't Bible. It's given to people as a gift at the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. It's mentioned in other books as well. I'm not sure why pretty much the only denomination that still practices this is the Pentecostal denomination. Could you help me understand this for us today and what kind of a position would be on speaking in tongues here at Grace?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'm not sure I can explain to you fully why the Pentecostal still speak in tongues in a way that's fair to them.
Sure.
So I'm not going to
speak on their behalf.
I'm not going to speak on their behalf.
Yeah.
So, but it's not just a Pentecostalism is not so much a denomination as it is like a theological strain.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there are variations of it. There are what we like a Grace Church, like a churches that are Pentecostal that would be very foreign to us, dancing in the aisle, all the way down to like handling snakes, you know, just real foreign. all the way up to churches that we would be able to interact with a little bit more naturally with, that would still say that they're in that vein, but we would disagree about things theologically. So I'm gonna steer away from that because I don't think I can do that question fairness. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why we don't, what we think about speaking in tongues. Yeah. So when it comes to the Bible and speaking in tongues, your friend is right in some ways. The Bible does not forbid speaking in tongues. The Bible does not say that it is speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift. It does not close that spiritual gift in a way that would say that that can never, ever happen again.
Yep.
So speaking in tongues did happen in the Bible. It could happen now supernaturally, and it is not what you would see on TV or the internet. Mm-hmm. So when the Bible talked about tongues of fire or speaking in tongues, every time it talked about it, it predominantly spoke about it in terms of God overcoming language barriers. So that's what you see on the day of Pentecost, is you see a bunch of people that are from all over the world, and suddenly they're prophesying about who God is and the Holy Spirit. And think of it this way. Think you speak Spanish, I speak French. You're speaking Spanish, but I understand you in French. So God overcomes that language barrier. And that, when you see that speaking in tongues of the scripture, that's the predominant way that you will see it, that a language barrier is broken. God supernaturally is breaking through so that the truth of who he is and his gospel is not limited or hindered by something as simple as language, mm-hmm. but that God can defeat it and move it on. So you see that clearly. Later on, what you'll see in the book of the book of Corinthians and other parts, other epistles in the New Testament, you'll see the Apostle Paul talking about the spiritual gifts, mm-hmm. and you'll see those spiritual gifts, and one of them is laid out that you have the gift of tongues. Now, so that's why I say it is a spiritual gift. And to my reading of the scripture, the Bible doesn't say that gift does not get used at all anymore. So I believe personally that God can still overcome a language barrier if he chooses to do that. Mm-hmm. He could do a miracle. Mm-hmm. And if I'm in, Vietnam, and God wants me to be the vehicle to proclaim the good news of Jesus to a Vietnamese person, I think I could speak English and they would hear me in Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see any reason why God can still heal. God can still change the weather. God can do all those things. Doesn't mean he does it every day, but it doesn't mean he's limited and unable to do it. The other way that you'll hear the Apostle Paul talk about speaking in tongues is in terms of new revelation. So he'll say that God will speak through someone. They will speak in a spiritual language or a tongue. When that happens, 1 Corinthians 14 puts some real parameters around it. So the Paul says when that happens, first of all, it should not be the dominant thing happening in that church service. The dominant thing happening should be prophecy or the teaching of the Word of God. Secondly, it should never be done in chaos. Mm-hmm. So some of what you would see on TikTok or something like that, where it's just thousands of people break into dancing, there's no allowance for that in the scripture, in my view. And then thirdly, it must always be interpreted. So there's two people involved. One in the New Testament, and Paul is referring to, is receiving the direct revelation from God. The second one is hearing that spiritual language and then interpreting it into whatever the language of the church that was meeting, so Greek or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But there was order to it. There was significance to it, and there was the edification of the body. Mm-hmm. So the speaking in tongues was never meant to draw attention to a person. Mm-hmm. It was never meant to somehow display that your spiritual gifts or your faith is greater than my spiritual gifts or my faith. It was meant to overcome a language barrier, and it was meant to bring revelation from God. Yeah. So that is what you see in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Now, the natural follow-up to that would be then, if God allows for that in Scripture, why doesn't Grace Church practice speaking in tongues? And I would say, well, that's a great question, and it's rooted in two things. One, I already said that I believe that if God wanted to overcome a language barrier, he could do that. Mm-hmm. If he can create the heavens and the earth, I think he can bust through some, language barriers. Mm-hmm. So I would give allowance for that. If you came to me and told me that God, in fact, I have a friend that happened with, he was speaking around a campfire in English. He was in a tribal setting, kind of in the jungle, so to say. He was talking about Jesus, the servant, the girl, the woman who was serving them food, stopped him. She's speaking her language now. And in her language, she said, what did you just say? And then an interpreter asked my friend, and my friend said, I was just talking about Jesus, said it in English. The woman without the interpreter said, what is that name that you spoke? And my friend, now they're talking to each other, and my friend goes, Jesus. And she said, I've been waiting my whole life to hear that name. Mm. Mm. So I don't think that happens every weekend at 9:30 when the music crescendos and the cameras are on. But I do think God can do miracles like that. The part of tongues that I do believe has ceased is the part where God gives direct revelation to someone, and then they give that revelation to the church. Mm. And I believe that that has ceased because the word of God is complete. Mm. So that we have direct revelation for God. Remember in the book of Corinthians, the early church, there was no Bible. Mm-hmm. It was being written, so to say. So we have direct revelation from God, and it is easily accessible for us. It's the word of God, the Bible. So it would be inappropriate for Joe to say, I have a word from God that came from my speaking in tongues. You should never add to or subtract from that revelation. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God is active and alive in every believer, which gives us the mind of Christ. So the Holy Spirit of God helps me to interpret and understand the word of God. He helps me as a teacher to do that. And then he helps you as a listener to do that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We don't need another person involved anymore. So the church is matured. The word of God is complete. I don't see a need for that role to be played out in public church services anymore. Mm-hmm. So I would look and say that part of speaking in tongues is ceased. The supernatural part of it, the language part of it, God can do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah. I think thank you, Jeff. That's incredibly clear, and I hope incredibly helpful for our listener. In that same passage, Paul talks about, he says something along the lines of, like, I wish everybody could do this, but he goes, what I really, really want is for, like, people to talk about Jesus in a way that makes sense.
That's right.
And talk about how that has informed a lot of even our passions here at Grace. Like, why is making Jesus make sense so important?
Well, even like you said, in that same passage, Paul says, the reason that you don't do this publicly is because if an outsider comes in, they'll think you're drunk.
Right.
So Paul made allowances in the church that when an outsider comes to a meeting of the church, they should be able to be included in the teaching. Mm-hmm. So we call that making Jesus make sense. So, the biggest way that you guys would feel it as a church family is if you come to communion. Communion is one of the only things in which the church is actually closed. Mm-hmm. Like an outsider or non-believer is actually not invited to communion. So if you ever heard me teach at communion or we were worshiping at communion, we do weird things like washing each other's feet, taking the bread cup. That's all for believers who have the Holy Spirit of God within them, and we don't give much mind at all to the fact that there would be a non-believer present.
We quickly say basically some version of what you just said.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
In fact, we say if you're not a believer, you're free to walk, watch. We actually don't want you to participate. Mm-hmm. This is not for you, and it's a sacred thing. Our weekend services, though, we call those public Jesus meetings. So we would say, we wish our whole community came to church on the weekend and learned the Bible.
Yep.
There's a open standing invitation to our whole community to come to church on the weekend.
Yep.
What Paul would say then is, if that's what you're going to do, which is a good thing, then teach the Bible.
Right.
Like, teach who Jesus is, teach what he says about how to live, how to interact with him. Grace Church would take that a step further, and we would say, let's be sure that we even sing songs that they can understand. That doesn't mean we sing secular songs, but we don't do the hallelujah chorus because people don't know what hallelujah means. Mm-hmm. We don't sing, are you washed in the blood and the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, because that sounds weird. Mm-hmm. That sounds very weird unless you have a mastery of the Old and the New Testament that makes all the imagery make sense. So we're always, when we have weekend services, we have public Jesus meetings. We are not a seeker church. We're not a seeker-sensitive church. We are a guest-sensitive church.
Right.
I don't change my sermon because an outsider, using Bible language, an outsider came in. I just build into my sermon an explanation so that they know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So like this weekend, I'm going to talk about sin. Mm-hmm. Well, I actually define what sin is.
Right.
So it's just something as simple as that. But that's where Paul's like, you don't do speaking in tongues because they can't have their head around it. Mm-hmm. And then Grace Church would take that. We say, right, we do public Jesus meetings. Mm-hmm. Collective on Tuesday and Thursday is a public Jesus meeting. Merge and overtime are public Jesus meetings. Your small group may not be a public Jesus meeting, right? My men's Bible study on Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock in the community room at Gent Road, we talk about hardcore stuff in there, and it took us over a year to get through 1 Corinthians because that's actually not a public Jesus meeting.
Right.
It's believers that are like, I want to go as deep as you can go, Jeff. I'm like, all right. We'll spend 5 weeks on part of a verse in there because of the setting. But I wouldn't do that on the weekend because of the open invitation for the public to come.
Yeah. I think that's incredibly helpful. And I mean, really the short answer to our approach here is we try to mimic the teaching that Paul gives us in the scripture.
Right.
And that's been a conviction. It's actually the huge conviction of our church. We lean into the scripture like for everything.
Yep.
And so...
And he would say... The reason we sing is because in the Old and New Testament, when God's people got together, they sang the truth of God's. And then Paul would say the predominant thing in your service should be prophecy or the teaching of the Word of God. So that's why the sermon gets the most time.
Yeah. And on a super practical basis, singing ends up being important because that's often what you remember.
That's right.
I never wake up reciting any of our sermons.
Yeah.
I often wake up with a song in my head.
That's right.
And
we like to say you leave church singing the truth you were taught.
Yeah.
You don't leave church reciting it. You're never like point three, you know, but you're like, this is the verse. And so we actually work very, very hard to connect the music to the message so that you walk away with one teaching from the weekend, so it embeds.
I want to ask one closing question here, Jeff. So if we have friends, family, whatever, that would basically disagree with what we just said in this podcast, and they go to a church, they speak in tongues, they do all whatever. I mean, is that... something we should ostracize? I mean, are those relationships we cut? Like, where does that kind of fall in? I disagree with how this plays out, but yet what is the standing of our relationship?
I would definitely not ostracize over that. Our ability to align is going to be tied to what they believe speaking in tongues is. So if they believe that it's a gift that they're exercising, and they believe that the gathering of the church is only the gathering of believers, and that's how they run their church, we can align with quite a few things, usually with salvation and cultural issues and all the rest. If they believe that speaking in tongues is an evidence of your salvation, or you are not filled with the Holy Spirit until you speak in tongues, I really can't align with you, because now what you've said is it's salvation by works until I do this thing. Just like I would have trouble aligning with a church that says you don't receive your salvation until you're baptized. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's a work. Mm-hmm. So I struggle with that. And then I believe that you're filled with the Holy Spirit the moment you accept Jesus. It's not a secondary or tertiary thing that happens.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'd have to disagree with you on that. Now, is your friend going to go to hell because of a false teaching? I'm like, probably not. I mean, most of those churches are going to have salvation mm-hmm. down. They're probably just adding to it or making it more complicated. So I hesitate, because, you know, the Apostle Paul says, as long as the gospel is being preached. Right. So I hesitate. If you get too far down the scope of, like, I speak in tongues, I do this every day, and we're full on Pentecostal, we're, you know, handling snakes, we're waiting for miracles, we're wanting gold dust, then I would say you might be into a false gospel in which you're waiting for the works of God, or counting on your works for your salvation, or evidence of your salvation.
Yeah.
There I would get, like, you're going too far with it.
Sure.
So it really depends on where they're at. I have friends that I know and love and trust that would say they speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm. So do I.
And I'm like, I know and love you and trust you, and that's why I pastor my church and you pastor yours. Like, mm-hmm. I don't agree with you. I don't see it in the scripture. But it doesn't divide us relationally. It does separate us theologically.
Mm-hmm.
And to the degree of that separation is usually the degree to which we would feel good about somebody going there or vice versa.
Yeah, that's really, really helpful. I personally speaking, you know, this is something I had to wrestle through, because I kind of grew up in a tradition like this. And so, you know, 20 years ago or whatever it was, I'm like, I really had to do the biblical research, because I had been told one thing but was reading what I felt like others, and just had to come to grips with this. So I know that there's people out there that would have been in similar shoes as mine, where even if it's your own personal experience, like, I need to think through this. So Jeff, I think this episode is incredibly helpful, so thanks for walking us through that. If you have questions that you'd like us to tackle, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Send them our way, but don't be a stranger and let us know. And if you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review. That'll help other people find it as well. And of course, we'd love to see you here at Grace This Weekend, our public Jesus meeting, where we're going to do everything we can to make Jesus make sense. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages about this.